Amen. That's good. Some of you boys get a vision for the piano. Amen. All right. That's good. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 is really the conclusion of the book, but it's practical, really a practical part of the book, talking about different important issues that the apostle was led of the Spirit of God to deal with in their midst. Hebrews 13. And verse number 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now here we have a very important verse about the sacredness of marriage. The sacredness of marriage. Marriage is honorable. In other words, marriage is very, very honorable, very priceless, very precious. It says, and the bed undefiled. The marriage relationship is not what the world says it is. The Bible says it is pure. We live in a world that says the opposite. Books, magazines, videos. The world makes marriage and the bed a very filthy thing. We live in a filthy world. God says marriage is honorable, very precious, very sacred. It says, well, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Those who take marriage lightly, those who treat it as something less than what it is, now, marriage is really the basis of morality and purity and godliness in the human race. This is the foundation of morality in society is established by marriage. Biblical marriage. It is really the foundation of the morals of a whole society. Now, society and man without Christ and men who, women who think like heathen, think of marriage as a mere physical act. Enter into it lightly. Walk away from it quickly. And do it over and over. Now, certainly there's not enough time to develop all of this tonight. But I think there's some important verses to think about. Just in general with this subject. First of all, let's deal from a a negative standpoint, and from one that can easily be mistaken, but yet needs to be said. Let's go to Malachi. Now, let's talk about the morality established by the institution of marriage. Let's first of all, and I'm going backwards here a minute, let's go to, and keep your finger in Malachi, let's go to 1 Corinthians 7:1. It says, there is, the Corinthians have asked a question to Paul about marriage. And the question is about celibacy. And the question is, in the day in which they live, in which it was so needful to spread the gospel, and life was so difficult, and travel was so difficult, and to spread the gospel took very rugged individuals. And he says, in answer to the question, he says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, the phrase there, it is good for a man not to touch woman, what he's really saying is saying that that phrase is a synonym or a substitute for it is good for a man not to marry. That's what he's saying. In this rugged life of spreading the gospel, in this rugged, tough world, in which it's very, which there is persecution, et cetera. We won't go through all of that. He's saying, you know what? In my opinion, it's not a permanent thing. It's only a temporary thing. He says it'd be better not to get married for the sake of the spread of the gospel. But that's not where we're going to park. What we're going to park on is what phrase did he use to symbolize marriage? What phrase did he use to symbolize marriage? Look at your Bible. What phrase did God use through the Apostle Paul to symbolize marriage? What is it? Man to touch a woman. For a man to touch a woman is the phrase that is used synonymously or as a substitute for the phrase marriage. You saying, Pastor, that the Bible is saying that it is wrong for a man to even touch a woman in any passionate way if they're not married? Yes. Yes. You mean holding hands? Yes. Now, you know, there's a phrase in American culture, Western culture, and this is the phrase. A young man would go to a father and says to the father, would you give me your daughter's hand in marriage? How many ever heard that phrase before? Oh, really? Where'd that come from? Outer space? No, it came from real life. And what is the man asking? He's asking permission to marry the girl. And what is he asking? He's asking permission to hold her hand. That's what he's asking. Permission to hold her hand. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying marriage is sacred. Marriage is sacred. It's not a game. It's not a time for young people to let the electricity flow before marriage. Now, why am I saying this? It's because we live in a society that's full of adultery, fornication, affairs, divorce, remarriage. Looseness. No dating standards. You know what it is? It's dishonoring the institution of marriage. Don't go read some romance novel. That's disgracing the institution of marriage. Don't go watching some romance movie. That's accepting godless thoughts about marriage. And maybe you need to repent. Maybe you're still thinking like a heathen. You've gotten saved, but you haven't changed your thinking. Now he's talking about the sacredness of marriage. And let me say it again. The foundation of morality in a society is the sacredness of the institution of marriage. And that sacredness is a very much a real demeanor about touching something that belongs to a holy God. We talk about holy matrimony. That's what it's saying. Holy matrimony. Now, the foundation of society, the morality of society, is established by marriage. The sacredness in which marriage is held. The sacredness of you don't touch. This isn't a time to feast your flesh. This isn't a time to feed your flesh. This isn't a time to build up fleshly emotional attachments. No, that's making less of the sacredness of marriage. Now, think of the image here. A man does not ever touch a woman who's not his wife in any passionate way. A man does not touch a woman in any passionate way. That woman is not, if that woman is not his wife. Now, personally, I have some beliefs that most people think that I'm a little bit fogey. But I'm not much for public display of affection. I'm not much into showing this that is sacred and making it a show in public. I'm not for that at all. Marriage is sacred. I realize that's very old-fashioned. But I believe there's a biblical basis for that thinking. Now think of the image. You touch a woman, it's not your wife, in any passionate way. Wow. Now all of a sudden you're talking about morals, aren't you? Now all of a sudden you're establishing moral principles of society. Now you're eliminating, you know, 90%, 99% of TV and 99% of Hollywood. You know, why do Christian people have wrong thinking about this? Because they spend too much time listening to the people who have all sorts of affairs. Now, secondly, what's the image? A child sees their parents all their life. This child sees their dad, a one-woman man. This child sees their mother all their life. A one-man woman. That's morality. Don't talk about other women. Aren't attracted to other women. Aren't drawn to other women. Et cetera, et cetera. A one-woman man. That's where morality is taught. Morality in a society is taught by the sacredness of marriage. Anything less than that, anything beyond those boundaries, brings a society outside of God's bounds and God's thinking. Now, Malachi, chapter 2. Verse 11, Judah hath dealt treacherously. An abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the man, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done, again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with crying up, insomuch that he regards not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hands. Yet you say, well, why? Why doesn't God receive our offering? He says, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? And the two shall become one flesh. Yet hath he the residue of the Spirit, and therefore one. Why? That he might seek a godly seed. Notice that. Why one? Why one? And no, none else? Why are they one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, he hateth putting away. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, foundation of society, foundation of morality, the foundation of a godly seed is what? Faithfulness in marriage. Faithfulness in marriage. is vitally connected to a godly seed. Now, I don't understand all of this, but, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to any offend anybody. You know, things happen in life, and we confess it and repent, but we still need to deal with the facts. What happens in remarriage? Now, divorce in America isn't really divorce. Divorce is the right to remarry. That's not biblical. If there's a divorce, the Bible says they're supposed to remain single the rest of their life, period. That's why you don't ever enter marriage without really, really being careful. Never. Because it is for life. And who enters marriage flippantly? Many times young people. I had a pastor friend. A great godly man. His wife died. Married Christian school teacher in their school. Came back from the honeymoon and she says, I'm out of this marriage. He had to resign his church. It was over. His service for God was over. Done. Don't enter such a thing ever without very much care. What's the issue here? What about remarriage? You know, remarriage, and again, I'm sorry I have to say this, but it's true. This child sees their father or their mother while their father or mother is living now with another man. What does that do? That destroys the principle of one man, one woman, for life in that child's mind. All the studies, all the statistics will tell you that the children of divorce, and I would put within there, children of divorce where the parents don't really repent and stand with God, children of divorce and remarriage are much more apt to commit fornication. Why? They saw it. Their mind can't distinguish that, can they? Their mind can only say, oh, my parent is still alive, but my parent has another partner. And they're also more apt to divorce. Why? Because they have seen someone treat that less than sacred. Now again, with repentance and coming on God's side, God can overcome our sins. But these are the facts. And if you have been anything in this in life, and you don't take a strong stand along what I am saying, you are doing your children a great disservice. Sacredness of marriage, the foundation of society. How's our society doing? What's the foundation of our society? The sacredness of marriage. That's the foundation of civilization. That's really what it's saying. Foundation of civilization. Now, let me just preach a little bit. Get rid of the romance novels. Get rid of the movies that make light of God's sacred institutions. Get rid of the 17 magazine that's picturing a girl and all her life is the flesh. This is all a part of our wicked world. Now, kind of along this line, young person, when you come to marriage, you should have something to offer. You should have something to offer. In the Old Testament, they had to have evidence. If they didn't have evidence that the woman was a virgin, it was over. You know, Abraham's servant came to Rebekah's family and said, "Here's the credentials of my master." You know, young person, you know what part of your life is? And dads, part of your job is to raise your daughter or your son so they have spiritual credentials to offer. And you can, a dad can come to a parent of a godly girl or vice versa and say, "These are the credentials. This is the proof that my child is godly. And you can trust that this marriage will last. And not only will it last, but it will result in a godly seed." Now, we really have gone over time, but the other half. Whoremongers. That's the word fornication. It's the word pornography. Pornography. Fornicators. Whoremongers. That is immorality before marriage. And adulterers, God will judge. The Bible says a wound and a dishonor will they get. It says the strange wound will make a man like a piece of bread. Till a dart strike through his liver. Till he goes to the chambers of death. A wound and dishonor shall he get. Judgment. Judgment. How many people, sad to say, come into marriage with all sorts of immoral baggage? And they hope that it works out. Now, God can make it work out if there is a true turning. If there is a turning, if there is a complete change. You know, my experience as a pastor has been sad. That many times people who've had a shady background, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. I've talked to men. And I said, "You shouldn't be talking to that lady. You shouldn't be so friendly with the ladies." They don't get it. Or I say to a lady, I usually don't say it to a lady, maybe have my wife. And say, "You know, that's inappropriate. Inappropriate." And they says, what? Where'd you come from, the Flintstones or what? We're talking about the sacredness of marriage. And this is very serious. People say, oh, let them live their life. No. This is God's institution. We don't play games with God's institution. We don't talk about it lightly. We don't enter into it lightly. We don't play games with it. We don't violate God's code of touching and all these other things. Because this is a sacred institution. It's a sacred thing. We don't live in a society that calls it sacred. In fact, we live in a society that when they have a wedding, what do? The girls come half naked. They're drinking, partying, dancing. There's no sacredness there, is there? That's the world we live in. The world that we live in calls adultery an affair. It's something that's wonderful. The strange woman, stolen waters are sweet. No. No. The dead lie there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this verse in the Bible. And Lord, how important it is to stand with the Word of God. To stand with the Bible. Lord, I pray that every young lady, every young man that they would realize that the music of the world, the movies of the world, the books of the world, the people of the world make this sacred institution a game. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them to keep it sacred. It is the foundation of a holy home. It's the foundation of a holy church. It's a foundation of a holy nation. It's the foundation of a civilization that will endure. I pray you'd work. Even while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, we don't often preach on this subject, but maybe it'd be right